So if you take a standard factory issue car engine, right, and you bolt this massive high performance turbocharger onto it, at first you just get, well, incredible speed.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But if you keep pushing it, eventually the transmission starts slipping or, the brakes just aren't strong enough to stop you.
The cooling system completely boils over.
Exactly. The core component is so powerful that it just starts to stress test every single other part of the vehicle until the bolts literally start snapping off.
And honestly, it's a perfect way to look at it. You are pushing an ecosystem way past the limits it was actually designed to handle.
Right.
And when you do that, the failure points start popping up in places you wouldn't even expect.
And that feeling of an engine redlining until it just like falls apart, that is
Oh.
exactly where we find ourselves today.
Yeah, it really is.
Because it is Tuesday, April 28th, 2026. And over the last 24 hours, I mean, the tech industry just hit its red
It's
line.
been wild.
A multi-billion dollar acquisition was reversed by a foreign government. Code writers are getting priced out of their own daily tools. And Meta is literally trying to beam electricity from space just to keep their data centers from melting down.
It has been an absolutely historic day. And, at first glance, looking at today's stack of sources, we are looking at things that seem like completely separate industries having, well, simultaneous crises and breakthroughs.
Yeah, but there is a single thread connecting all of it.
Right.
And our mission for this deep dive is to cut through this massive wave of information and show you how these seemingly disconnected events are all symptoms of that redlining engine.
Because we are looking at an entire global ecosystem pushed to its absolute physical, economic, and political limits by the rapid scale of artificial intelligence.
Okay, let's unpack this. We have to start with the biggest headline today, which is honestly practically a geopolitical earthquake.
Oh, massive.
China's National Development and Reform Commission, the NDRC, has officially ordered Meta to completely unwind its acquisition of Manus. And this isn't pocket change. We are talking about a $2.5 billion deal.
Right, and the timing is what makes this so unprecedented. I mean,
Oh.
for you listening, we need to clarify that this isn't a proposed deal being blocked by regulators before the ink dries.
Oh, not at all.
This deal officially closed 4 months ago, back in December of 2025.
Right. And Meta has been given just weeks, literally weeks, to return all assets to their original state.
That's crazy.
Now, Manus, just to remind you, is a startup that builds agentic AI. Their AI automates incredibly complex multi-step tasks.
Like coding, managing files, executing entire projects autonomously. Yeah.
Exactly. And Meta bought them to supercharge their own internal AI agent strategy. This announcement sent shockwaves through the market today. I mean, I saw Meta took a negative hit, but how did the hardware side react to this kind of disruption?
Was incredibly volatile. So, following the news, Qualcomm shot up 13%, MediaTek went up 8%. Meanwhile, Apple dipped 1.7%. And if you look at the broader sentiment, right, the AI greed index is sitting incredibly hot at 72 out of 100.
Okay, so the market is really trying to price in a massive disruption here.
Totally. But the nuance here, the real kicker, is in the corporate structure of Manus itself. The company is officially registered in Singapore.
Which is the part that is so wild to me. Because to use an analogy, it's like buying a house, moving all your furniture in, living there for 4 solid months,
Yeah.
and then a foreign government suddenly knocks on the door and says, you have to give the house back and move out by the end of the month.
It's a huge overreach, yeah.
So how does Beijing legally force a company registered in Singapore to retroactively unwind a closed deal?
Well, what's fascinating here is how broad the interpretation of national security has become in 2026.
Right.
Yes, they are in Singapore, but Manus was founded by Chinese engineers, and a portion of their core technology and training data is tied directly to mainland China.
Oh, I see.
So Beijing is officially classifying Manus's autonomous agent technology as a strategic asset. They're arguing that the transfer of this specific, highly capable AI to a major American corporation represents a direct threat to their national security.
Wow. And I mean, this didn't just happen in a vacuum today, right?
No, not at all. If we connect this to the bigger picture, we really have to look at the historical timeline provided in our sources. Because this traces back to 2022, when the U.S. initially banned the export of advanced silicon chips to China. That really set the stage.
Right, the original chip bans.
Exactly. Then in 2024, the Chinese firm DeepSeek managed to completely bypass those American sanctions
Wait, how did they do that again?
by utilizing Huawei chips to build AI models that, well, rivaled GPT-4.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah. And just earlier this month, April 2026, DeepSeek V4 launched, and completely crushed OpenAI's cost structures. I mean, reducing inference costs by 50 times.
50 times. That's insane. So the technological separation between the two nations was already reaching a boiling point.
Exactly. The temperature was maxed out. But, you know, so what for you, the listener, the reason this specific event is so critical to your understanding of the market is the precedent it sets for venture capital.
Yeah, the fallout.
This is the very first time in history that a closed cross-border technology deal has been retroactively reversed by China. It sends a chilling message. Any future AI investment that has even a tangential connection to Chinese talent, code, or data is now, well, incredibly risky.
So if relying on foreign tech partnerships is becoming too politically radioactive, companies like Meta have to pull inward.
Right. They need absolute self-reliance.
But that runs them straight into a physical brick wall. Like, where do you get the juice to run an independent, massive AI grid?
Yeah, the power problem.
Because Meta's AI ambitions are so massive that the company is quite literally looking to the stars to keep the lights on.
You're referring to the Overview Energy contract.
I am, because Meta just signed the first ever commercial space solar power contract.
That's wild.
They are partnering with a startup called Overview Energy to launch 1,000 satellites into orbit.
1,000?
Yes. And these satellites are going to collect solar power in space and then beam it down to Earth as infrared light to ground-based solar farms.
Yeah, and our sources indicate this will provide 1 gigawatt of capacity, which is, I mean, enough to power a mid-sized city.
Wow.
They start testing in 2028 with commercial delivery slated for 2030.
It is a phenomenal engineering undertaking, for sure.
And it speaks to the sheer desperation for energy.
But, okay, I have to push back on this entire premise for a second.
Go for it.
Because 1,000 space lasers beaming energy down from orbit sounds completely unhinged.
It does.
It sounds like a supervillain plot. Are Meta's AI data centers in 2026 really consuming so much power that we have to resort to science fiction instead of just buying a massive desert in Nevada and paving it with normal solar panels?
I get it. It seems needlessly expensive and complicated.
Exactly.
This sounds like sci-fi, but there is a very grounded mathematical reason for this.
Okay, what is it?
Traditional ground-based solar power has a fatal flaw when it comes to artificial intelligence.
Which is?
The sun goes down.
Oh, right.
Yeah, ground solar is useless at night, and it drops off significantly on cloudy days. You have to understand that AI data centers in 2026 are facing a critical energy crisis.
Because they never stop running.
Exactly. Training these massive models and having millions of AI agents running tasks for users, it doesn't stop at 8 p.m.
They require massive, continuous 247 baseload power.
Right.
And our current battery grids just can't store enough daytime solar to get a massive data center through the night.
Precisely.
Yeah.
So by putting the solar collectors in orbit, Overview Energy satellites are in constant unfiltered sunlight.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
They collect it continuously and beam it down continuously, regardless of the weather or the time of day down on the surface.
Oh.
Because AI's physical footprint, like the sheer amount of electricity required to cool the servers and run the processors, is the ultimate bottleneck right now. You can write the best software in the world, but if the physical grid can't power it,
your innovation just stops cold.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's not just the physical electricity that is getting too expensive to subsidize anymore.
No, it's not.
The software itself is hitting an economic wall. The era of the all-you-can-eat AI buffet is officially over.
Oh, you're talking about the GitHub Copilot announcement.
Right. So GitHub announced that starting June 1st, 2026, so just about a month from now, Copilot is switching to consumption-based billing for its heavy features. The old premium request flat rate system is dead.
Completely gone.
It's being replaced by GitHub AI credits.
Which brings Copilot's pricing completely in line with standard AI API models.
Hold on, though. Isn't that a massive bait and switch? Because GitHub gets millions of developers utterly dependent on this tool for a flat $20 a month. And now that the entire industry relies on it to function, they're saying you have to start paying by the token.
I totally understand the frustration. And honestly, many developers feel the exact same way today.
Right.
But to be fair to the mechanics of the change, basic code completion, like when you are typing and it just suggests the next line, that will remain unlimited.
Okay, so that's still safe.
Yeah. The issue is the heavy agentic features.
Gotcha.
If you want to use Copilot chat for deep debugging, or say trigger command line actions, or deploy cloud agents to rewrite entire repositories,
yeah,
Those operations use an enormous amount of input, output, and cash tokens.
So it's like a gym membership where getting in the door and using the treadmills is still free.
Right.
But now you have to drop a quarter into the machine every single time you want to use the sauna or the free weights.
That is a perfect analogy.
Right.
And it really reflects a harsh economic reality that the tech world has been avoiding for a while.
The actual cost of AI.
Yes. For the past few years, major companies have been heavily subsidizing the cost of AI access just to gain market share and encourage adoption.
Because they wanted everyone hooked.
Exactly. They were eating those massive overhead costs. But as developers rely more on complex AI agents that run multi-step, token-heavy operations, well, that flat-fee subscription model has become entirely financially unsustainable.
So the free ride is over.
It really is.
Because for heavy users, GitHub is estimating their monthly bills could multiply by 2 or even 3 times.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
And for you, if you are managing a software team, this means you have to seriously audit your AI reliance.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer just a fun productivity tool. It's a highly variable line item in your monthly budget that will wildly fluctuate depending on how efficiently your developers prompt the AI.
Man. So these AI agents are getting massively expensive, but we still have to use them to stay competitive.
No, you can't just stop using them.
Exactly. And integrating them into our daily corporate workflows means we need entirely new dashboards and administrative tools just to manage them.
Which introduces new problems.
Yes, which brings us to our fourth story. A terrifying new security blind spot.
Ah, the Microsoft Entra ID vulnerability discovered by the security firm Silverfort.
Yes. So Silverfort found a critical vulnerability involving a newly created role in Entra ID called the Agent ID Administrator.
Right.
And this role was specifically designed to babysit and manage AI agents within a corporate network.
And what Silverfort found was that anyone who held this administrative role could easily take over unrelated service principals and escalate their privileges across the entire corporate tenant.
Okay, before we get into the terrifying part of that, let's establish some ground rules.
Sure.
For those of us who aren't enterprise IT admins, can we translate that into plain English? Like, what exactly is a service principal in this context? Is that just a fancy word for a bot account?
Essentially, yes.
Yeah.
Think of the tenant as your company's entire digital office building. A service principal is basically the digital ID badge you give to an application or a bot, so it can enter different rooms in that building without needing a human to type in a password every time.
Got it. So this new AI management role allowed an attacker to grab other people's digital ID badges and start wandering around the building.
Exactly.
And the craziest part to me is how our sources describe the attack itself. Because exploiting this required no zero-day exploits.
Nope.
It required no malware. The attackers just abused completely legitimate APIs.
Which is why traditional security software, like signature-based security information and event management systems, or SIEMs, couldn't even detect it.
But wait, how is a company actually supposed to protect itself if the hackers are just using legitimate APIs? Doesn't this mean the very systems we built to safely manage AI are actively turning against us?
This raises an important question about the fundamental shift in modern cybersecurity.
Right.
Think of it this way. Traditional hacking is like a criminal trying to aggressively pick the lock on the front door of your building.
The alarms go off, cameras catch it.
Exactly. What happened with Entra ID is entirely different. The hacker simply compromised a low-level account, used legitimate pathways to convince the building manager that they were the new night watchman.
Oh, wow.
And the system just willingly handed them the master keys. To the security cameras and the SIM dashboards, everything looked like totally normal, sanctioned business activity.
Because to the software, it doesn't look like a hack. It just looks like an approved AI agent doing its job.
Exactly.
Now, Microsoft has patched it, but the vulnerability existed in the wild for days.
It did. And organizations must immediately audit who holds the specific Agent ID Administrator role and actively check their logs for unusual service principal activity.
Yeah, you have to check your logs.
The major takeaway here is that AI infrastructure itself, like the management dashboards, the APIs, the identity permissions, is rapidly becoming the most dangerous new attack vector for enterprises.
Attackers aren't breaking your code anymore. They're just stealing your AI's identity.
Precisely.
Okay, let's pause and review this nightmare ecosystem we've just outlined.
It is a lot.
AI is currently too politically toxic to acquire overseas. It's too power-hungry for Earth-based electricity, too expensive to run infinitely in the cloud, and too dangerous to manage with standard security dashboards.
It's the redlining engine.
Exactly. So how do we actually move forward without the engine completely exploding?
By pulling the processing power out of the cloud and putting it directly onto the device sitting on your desk. Local computing.
Yeah. To process all this AI securely, efficiently, and without running up those huge cloud token bills we just talked about, the local hardware in your laptop needs a complete revolution.
And here's where it gets really interesting, because NVIDIA, you know, the undisputed king of the massive AI server train, they are officially coming for your laptop. They're entering the $200 billion PC processor market.
It is a massive strategic pivot.
At Computex 2026, which is coming up next month, NVIDIA is introducing the ARM-based N1 for consumers and the N1X for professionals.
They are partnering with MediaTek to build these CPUs, and major players like Asus, Dell, and Lenovo are already building laptops around them.
Yeah, and they're expected to hit the $800 to $1,500 range, with the consumer N1 dropping in the second half of 2026 and the Pro N1X in early 2027.
But explain the significance of the architecture here, because these chips are integrating the central processing unit, the graphics processing unit, and the neural processing unit, the NPU, into a single package.
Right. They are taking aim directly at the efficiency of the Apple M4 and the Snapdragon X lines.
Explain the mechanism there, though. Like, why does putting them all in a single package solve the efficiency problem?
It's all about physical distance.
Okay.
In older laptops, the CPU and the GPU were separate chips on the motherboard. Every time they needed to talk to each other, data had to travel across that board.
Right.
That physical travel distance is what creates excess heat and drains your battery life.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so by putting the CPU, GPU, and the AI-focused NPU on the exact same tiny silicon package, you eliminate that travel. The data moves instantaneously, drastically cutting power consumption while maintaining massive performance.
Which makes total sense for running complex AI agents locally, you know, to save on GitHub tokens.
Exactly.
But the part of this NVIDIA announcement that made me do a double take actually has nothing to do with enterprise AI.
Oh.
It's what this means for entertainment.
Ah, the gaming side.
Yes. Because if we are talking about pushing local hardware to its absolute physical limits, we have to talk about what happened today with the PlayStation 5. The massive launch of Saros.
The reviews for this have been glowing across the board.
9 out of 10 from almost every major outlet. They are calling it the best PS5 exclusive of 2026.
Yeah, it's developed by Housemarque, right?
Yes, the incredibly talented Finnish studio that made Returnal back in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
In Saros, you play as an enforcer named Arjun Devraj who crash lands on the alien planet Carcosa.
Sounds intense.
It is. It's a roguelike action shooter, but the unique mechanic is just mind-blowing. The planet Carcosa experiences frequent solar eclipses, and every single time an eclipse happens in the game, the entire planet changes.
Wow.
The environment shifts, the enemies mutate, the mechanics alter entirely, so every single run is completely different.
And, you know, if we connect this to the hardware limits we were just discussing,
yeah,
that eclipse mechanic isn't just a fun narrative trick. It is a brutal stress test on the console's local rendering capabilities.
Because it has to load it all instantly.
Exactly. To procedurally generate entirely new environments, swap out enemy mutation assets, and alter physics mechanics on the fly without a loading screen, that requires an immense amount of optimized computational power.
Exactly. It's demanding the exact same kind of instantaneous local processing power that NVIDIA is trying to build for laptops.
Right.
And for anyone worried it might be too punishing, they've actually made it a bit more accessible than Returnal was. There's a rare mineral you collect called Lucinite that allows you to buy permanent upgrades between runs, so you always feel like you are progressing, even if you die. It is pure high-octane gaming nirvana.
But if we look at both of these hardware stories, like NVIDIA entering laptops and Sony pushing the PS5 with Saros, they really represent two sides of the exact same coin.
Yeah, totally.
Whether it's NVIDIA upending the PC market so you can process AI securely and cheaply on your desk, or Sony proving that highly optimized dedicated consoles can still deliver unmatched AAA experiences, the hardware wars are heating up just as fast as the software wars.
Because relying on the cloud is becoming too expensive and too slow.
Exactly.
Which brings us right back to where we started.
Mm-hmm.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? We've covered a wild ride of a Tuesday.
We really have.
We started with China weaponizing international deal reversals and essentially trapping Meta's $2.5 billion investment, proving that cross-border tech deals are now a complete minefield. We looked at Meta shooting 1,000 satellites into orbit just to beam down enough baseload solar power to keep their data centers running 24/7.
We examined the harsh economic reality of GitHub Copilot, forcing developers to start paying by the token, ending the era of subsidized flat-fee AI.
Right.
And we unpacked a terrifying Entra ID vulnerability that allowed hackers to use legitimate AI management APIs as an invisible master key into corporate networks.
And then we wrapped up with the incredible local hardware leaps coming down the pipe, with NVIDIA bringing unified chips to the PC market to save power, and Soros pushing the PS5 to its absolute procedural limits.
And you should care about this, because none of these are abstract, distant tech stories.
No.
The Chinese deal reversal directly affects the volatility of the tech stocks in your investment portfolios.
Yep.
The Entra ID flaw dictates how your company's IT department is going to have to secure your daily data tomorrow morning.
The GitHub billing change is going to directly impact your monthly software budgets if you are a developer.
Exactly. And NVIDIA's entry into the ARM race will dictate the literal laptop you will be deciding to buy next year.
Every single piece of this global ecosystem is being stress tested, which leaves us with a final thought for you to mull over.
Let's hear it.
As we watch this engine redline, with AI requiring massive physical infrastructure like gigawatt space laser arrays and triggering intense geopolitical maneuvering like retroactively unwinding international business deals, who is actually going to come out on top? Will the true winners of the AI revolution actually be the software creators writing the code? Or will the ultimate victors be the nation states and massive corporations that control the literal physical resources, the energy grids, the rare earth minerals, and the land required to keep the servers from melting down?
A fascinating question, because at the end of the day, the digital revolution is entirely dependent on the physical world.
Exactly. When you bolt a turbocharger that big onto an engine, you better be sure you own the fuel pump. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.